of the world. That's the first thing we want to clear up today. I think it's number one, and you know, what in the world does John mean by the world? He's not talking about creation in all its beauty. He's not talking about the mountains, the trees, the streams, the oceans, and all the beauty of creation. He wants us to enjoy his creation. He's not talking here about your family, because they're a part of the world. He wants us to love our family. He wants us to have fun. It's one thing, and the church never has any fun. Like, I bet you had a blast last night. I was sleeping, probably. I go to bed early on Saturday night. But if you don't have fun, something's wrong. God wants us to have recreation. He's not talking about that in the world. You can even take a trip. Listen to this. I whisper this to you. You can even take a trip to Las Vegas. Sin City. But if you go there every day, that might be a problem, all right? We got to define what is John talking about when he says, do not love the world. Well, what he's saying is, what he means is all on earth who oppose God and his plan. That's the first thing. All on earth who oppose God and his plan. It's a mindset or an attitude. I think we have a slide on that one. Do we have a slide on that? Yes. That's what it means. The next thing that it means is the influence and direction of culture that has forsaken the God who made us and everything. And the next thing that it means is living in this life apart from God. There are many people that claim to be a follower of Christ, a disciple of Christ, but yet they are living apart from God's plan and purpose for their life, and they're actually living in opposition of obedience to God and the Word of God. And we need to know that. He wrote this to believers. He wrote this to the church, not to love that world. It is the godless world that he's talking about. Let's go on. John is not suggesting that we ought to not love the people of the world. He wants us to love people of the world that are in opposition to God, that oppose God's plan and purpose for this earth and for themselves. He wants us to love those people. But the world that he wants us to not love is the world that he's rejected. Paul wrote this to one of the churches, the church in Colossae. This is what he said. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophy and high-sounding nonsense. How many of you have heard nonsense come out of a preacher's mouth before, besides me? Don't put up with those things that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of the world, rather than from Christ. What are some of the nonsense of philosophical world philosophies that Christians can buy into? I'm just going to mention two, but there's hundreds and thousands of them. One of it is this, that we will say this, and this is a world view, this is a world philosophy. It says, as long as they're not hurting anyone else, as long as I'm not hurting anyone else, that is a nonsense philosophy. That is a world view. Here's another one, as long as they're happy, or as long as I'm happy. Guess what? Sin will make us happy. The Bible says sin is pleasurable for a season, and then we got to come to the benefits of it, which is death, which there's always a price to pay when we disobey God and we walk in sin. So if you hear a Christian say those things, well, as long as I'm happy, or as long as they're happy, or you hear them say the philosophy, as long as they're not hurting anybody, that's a world philosophy. The next thing we're going to look at is the world does not love you. We think this world loves us. I've quoted this verse many times, and I want to give you the actual reference because a lot of people don't really believe it's in their Bible. So I'm going to give you the reference. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. It says this, Satan, who is the god of this, what? World. Is he talking about planet Earth? No, he's talking about everything that opposes God. and philosophy and ideals. God, Satan is the god of this world. And it's so very easily to get deceived by his angels, his fallen angels, the demonic. The world loves us in order to abuse us and then destroys us. One of Satan's names means destroyer. Jesus even said that he came to rob and to kill and to steal our faith. Satan wants to destroy your walk with God and my walk with God. And the best way to do it is for us to fall in love with a world that is totally the opposite, going in the opposite direction of where God wants us to go. That's why we need to know what's in this book, so that we will not fall in love with the world, because it says, then the Father's love is not in us. So the world loves us in order to abuse us and destroy us, but Jesus loves us in order to save us and to use us. Praise God. He will use false teachers. He will use false teachers. Don't believe everything you hear on television just because they're on television. Don't believe everything that someone says behind a pulpit in a church just because they got their credentials with a certain denomination, whether you're United Methodist. Test everything that I say. Test everything that I say. My pastor used to always ask the congregation. I came from a really small congregation. On a good Sunday, we had 27. That's with all the kids. All the youth. We lived on a back dirt road in upstate New York. And he would ask this question, like, how many of you believe the Bible? Raise your hand. Everybody raise your hand. How many of you read it from front to end? Two hands would go up. Then he'd say, how can you believe something you never read? Something to think about, isn't it? Oh, we don't want to be deceived. We can be deceived so easily by false teachers. There's a scripture in 2 Corinthians 11:4 that says this: Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, and he will use people who are saved or proclaiming Jesus Christ and the gospel and are giving us a false twist on it, that are actually promoting the world. We read earlier this verse: the world's glory is for a moment, or it's fading, but God's glory is forever. He who does the will of God lives forever. Praise God. Now there's three things the world offers that are not for God our Father. And John makes them very clear. There's three things. These are the three things that a man by the name of Anton LaVey came up with in 1966 when he started the Church of Satan, which isn't very successful, by the way. And he wrote the Satanic Bible. He believes the opposite of these three things that John tells us to do in order to not love the world. Anton LaVey says we need to love the world. The first thing is a desire and craving for physical pleasure, which is known as the lust of the flesh. In other words, having an animalistic appetite that is sensual and impure, that has impure desires which seek gratification outside of God, whether it be through sex or pornography or affairs or drinking and alcohol and drugs and partying, or on and it goes. There's a list in your Bible in several different places. These are temptations that are within, that our bodies actually crave, our souls and our minds can crave. And John says, do not desire or crave these physical pleasures, which is the lust of the flesh. The god of this world, Satan, says, no. You were given these animalistic, sensual, impure thoughts and desires. Go with them. Live with them. Go after them all that you possibly can. And we're living in a world today that's under that influence. We're living in a world today where we seem like we're swimming upstream, amen? Because, as I said last Sunday, Christianity is a counterculture. We're a part of a counterculture. We're not here to fit into culture. We're not here to mold the Bible and to mold the church. Oh, I don't know why I'm preaching like this. So that it fits culture. We have a message that the world needs to hear. And they need to get a new love. A love for the one who's made the universe as the creator of all things. Not the god of this world, who we've already identified. There were four priests, and they were on a retreat for a few days, trying to get away. And they decided that they were going to share their temptations with each other, and First priest says, mine's pretty bad. I look at bad pictures. I've got all the Sports Illustrated swimsuit editions. Second priest goes, oh, my temptation is much, much worse than yours. Mine's gambling. Matter of fact, a lot of times on Saturday night, when I'm supposed to be preparing the sermon or the homily, I'm down at the racetrack betting on the ponies. Third priest goes, oh, no, no, mine's all worse than yours. He says, mine's drinking. I drink a lot. I get drunk all the time. Matter of fact, I've gone into the sacrament of wine for Holy Communion one time and drank it all and got drunk. And the deacons came in and found me behind the chancel. The fourth one said, I'm sorry, guys, but my temptation is really the worst of all. Brace yourselves. Mine is gossip. And if you don't mind, excuse me for a little bit while I make some phone calls. Do not love this world or the things it offers, the Word of God tells us. The Word of God tells us to set our affections on things above, not things on this earth. The affections of things on this earth can totally drive us away from God, and we can miss out with a fulfilling, purposeful life in Christ Jesus. God wants to have your personality. He wants to have your being. He wants to have all of you so that you can have a purposeful life and a full and satisfied life. Full satisfaction comes in serving Jesus Christ. That's the only way we're going to find it. The world will never satisfy. We'll get hungrier and hungrier and hungrier for the things that are opposed to God once we go after them. The next thing, the second thing that John talks about is the desires and cravings for the things that we see. The lust of the eyes. Anton LaVoy's Bible would say, we're supposed to go after all we can. Get as rich as we can. Step on people when we have to. They would even have ceremonial things on how they could deceive people so that they could take advantage of people. This is really the temptation that's from without. There was a husband and wife, they were Christmas shopping in the mall one day. And the wife couldn't find her husband. And she's looking all over, and he's gone for a long time. He calls him on her cell phone, and no answer. Finally, she bumps into him. She goes, where have you been? I've been looking everywhere for you. He goes, well, you know that jewelry store we were in about 10 years ago, and there was that diamond necklace that you really love? And she goes, yeah, I'm the tear picker. I think it always buying me that necklace. He says, well, I was in the gun shop next to that.
He's in the gun shop next to that.
What is these desires and cravings for things that we see with our eyes? It's clothing. It's shopping excessively. It's I've got to have it. It's big houses and superb furniture and expensive materialistic stuff. Expensive cars and boats and extra homes. That's the temptation without. I love to watch HGTV and dream. Here people are looking for their second or third home, and they want it along the ocean somewhere. They want an ocean view. They said, our budget for our second home or our third home is only $500,000. And then you hear them talk, and you realize this is all they've got. This is all they'll have. This is their heaven now. Our heaven, our mansion is built for us in glory. This world's fading away. You know, you shouldn't wear clothes that are all faded because people try to throw out. My wife tried to throw out a sweatshirt on me that I liked very much. It was so faded. And she's like, I still have to throw it out one time. I grab it back out of the garbage. I want to wear it. She says, you look ridiculous. Yeah, but it's comfortable. It's my favorite sweatshirt. And we get comfortable in this world, don't we? It fits our style. But it's fading away. It's fading away. Oh, we want things that we don't need, and we want to be on top. We want to be the top dog. There's that old saying, keep it up with the Joneses, and I feel sorry for people that used to have the name Jones. Because it implies something. But Eve, she was tested in this way. When it came to eat the fruit, the God of this world tricked her into eating the fruit. with the lust of her eyes. Jesus was tempted by Satan. And Satan showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. He says, you can have these. But Satan is sort of dumb. He didn't realize that Jesus not only already had them, but Jesus already has the whole universe. And Jesus holds the title deed to earth. And one day he's coming back and he's going to step his foot, one in heaven and one on earth. And he's going to stand there with the title deed and say, I own this earth. This new heaven and this new earth is mine. I have the title deed. Jesus Christ is going to reign and rule forever. Amen. Praise God that we serve a risen Savior and King who will rule forever and ever and ever. Amen. The third thing that John talked about was desires and cravings to be important. Pride in our achievements and possessions, known as the pride of life. In other words, seeking after honors and titles and boasting about who you know and family connections and having a high opinion of ourselves and superiority, you know, wanting to be just a little bit better than that person around us. Comparing ourselves to other people, saying, well, at least I'm not as bad. We're going to pick on today. At least I'm not as bad as Zach. You know? You know, Dare might be a little bit better than me, but I think I can catch up to Dare. But Zach, I don't know. I've got him beat. You know? And it's a pride of life. Have you ever gotten into a discussion with someone and you start getting competitive because they tell you someone that they know or they met, that they know this famous movie star, so you try to think of who you know, and then you get into this competition? I got in a competition one time with a music leader, a worship leader at a church, because they were going on and on about back in the 80s how they won hundreds of children and teens to youth. And so I said, well, I have too. You know, I didn't want them to outdo me. And people start throwing names at you. And I remember one time someone was going on about all the people they knew, and I said, well, I know President Ford's bodyguard. He was at my house for a picnic. He really was. He was dating my cousin. But I don't remember his name. And then, you know, people will go on and they'll start bragging, and then I'll get competitive. And I go, well, I know John Ashcroft. He used to be our governor and our senator, and was also the U.S. Attorney General. He was in my Sunday school class in Springfield. Big whoop. Did John Ashcroft know who I am? Not really. There are 150 people in that Sunday school class. We get hung up on things. I know some pastors, if you call them pastor, they'll go ballistic. Don't call me pastor. That's beneath me. I am a reverend. Because I went to 8 years of school and I worked hard for that title. And pastors beneath me, because anybody can be a pastor. I am a reverend. I'm a reverend. Probably a reverend. You know, I don't get up in the morning and say to my wife, hi, honey, how are you, doctor? She is a doctor. I've only heard her mention it one time when she was teaching at a conference down in Springfield, and she just introduced herself. Hi, I'm Dr. Bonnie Henderson. And I'm like, I almost fell off my chair. You are? I'm married to her! Woo! That's my wife! Dr. Bonnie Henderson! Got my last name even! Hallelujah! Look at me! Does anybody remember that class? Does anybody remember that seminar she led? Does anybody have any clue who I am? You see, wanting to be important, the pride of life, and that's Satan. He just wants to be God. He'll do anything to get us to serve him, to love the world more than to love God, to oppose God's plan and purpose for our life. God's got a plan and purpose for your life. I don't know what it is, but it's up to you to find out what it is, to go to him in fasting and prayer if need be, to get into the Word of God and find out what is my purpose and what is God's plan for me being here this day and in this hour. You know, you cannot have God as your father and have the world as your brother, someone said. And I want to close with this statement. As your love for the world heightens, your love for God lessens. Let me say that again. As your love for the world heightens, your love for God lessens. Pray with me. Oh, Father God, we want the love of Jesus Christ to be shed abroad in our hearts. Lord, we do not want to be accused of that one love that we're to hate, which is the love of this world. We do not want to be that person. But today, Lord, we want to be people that love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, which is your commandment to us. Lord, we surrender today all of our ideas of what life should be like. And Lord, help us to find our identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask this in your name, which is above every other name, on heaven and in earth, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. As our worship leaders come today, let's prepare our hearts to worship him and say yes to whatever he wants us to say. Let's stand.